Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you very much. You guys good? You're wondering what to do, aren't you? You're wondering what's going on. Man. Joe, you are fire, mate. You're like it. You're like a tornado. Where are you? There you are. Come over here, young man. Young spring chicken. Yeah, just stretch out your hands to Joe. There is like a tornado anointing on you, bro. And there is something when you speak, the wind of God comes. And when you speak, there's going to be signs and wonders with the wind of God. Like when you speak, there will be moments like Acts when they were praying and then this mighty rushing wind came in and filled the room and it shook the room and fire came on heads. You will see this. You will see the manifestation of the tornadoes of God. And I saw right now the Lord is bringing you into the tornado, and you will see the deliverer. You are anointed to be a deliverer and you will actually see the deliverer. You will see him and when you see him, it will be like fire for you. Because you are called to go in and destroy the enemy's camp. You are called to go in and wreak havoc. King David had a mighty man, and the Bible says that he defended a field against 800 soldiers and killed them all. And the sword froze, his hand froze to the sword. I just want to thank you that your hand is frozen to the sword. I want to thank you there is no other thing that you cling to. There is nothing that you cling to but the sword of the Spirit of God. Yeah. So Lord, we bless him. We bless him right now to have the mind of Christ, to know the thoughts of God. Lord, let dreams, let encounters, let fresh revelation come into this young man. And his marriage in Jesus' name. Bless his marriage to prosper. Yeah, amen. Bless you, man. You're chunky soup. I mean that. Wow. All right, you guys can sit down. I do want to read some of the word to you today. Let's give it up for the band. Like, that was unbelievable. Who are you people? I wish I could play like you. I used to be a drummer, didn't I, babe? One beat, maybe two beats, and then Hillsong came in and the rest was just quit. These fancy beats you guys do. What is that? Showing off or something? No, it's not. Man, God wants to set people free today. God wants to set people free. God wants to totally set people free. Let me tell you a little about what humans are like. The Bible says God, I'll come over here. God made man in his image, man and woman. He created them. Someone shared that earlier. It says that he fashioned them out of the dust. Like God created them, male and female, he created them. But when it describes how he made people, it's completely different to animals. Did you know that? All this stuff about worshiping nature and worshiping, you know, saving the whale, all that stuff. I love it. I love looking after creation. The Bible actually says a righteous man will look after his animals. But animals are completely different to humans. Did you know that? animals are actually created by God. The Bible says He created the fish, He created the birds of the air, He created every species that there is. Evolution is not true. Evolution only happens within species. So a dog, you can make different sorts of dogs. A butterfly might change, but it's still a butterfly. And because this is what the Bible says, it says, when God made animals, He made them in their likeness to reproduce after themselves. Does that make sense? He created animals, dogs, to make more dogs. You get a dog and you made it with a donkey, it will create something deformed that will die. You create a whale, you know, you get a whale and get it to mate with another, like a, if you could, that's a weird picture right there. I was going to say a bird. Anyway, I don't even know how that would happen. It's not going to work. We know that. We're smart people. But when He made people, when God, when the Bible says the world was in chaos, like if you can imagine a formless mess of just dark matter everywhere, God steps into chaos. This is one of the first things it says. Genesis 1. Go there real quick. Genesis 1, if you want to open your Bible. If you have the Bible on your phone, that's cool. It's not as cool, but it's cool. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God is always attracted to chaos. God is always attracted to chaos. God is not afraid of the dark. He's like Batman. He goes to those places, but he's way better than Batman. And God comes, God creates animals and, you know, all, and but He says, you're going to be fruitful and reproduce like your own. But then it says that He creates male and female. Genesis 1, 26, God blessed them. Well, let's read verse 27. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them, and God blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 27, God created man in His own image. Whoa. Who are you? Who are you? Like literally, who are you? Who am I? We're not an ape that got lucky. It's the biggest load of baloney that's ever been sold to the planet. You were made by God's hand. King David writes this. He must have had an encounter. He said, you formed me in my mother's womb. You knitted every fiber of my being together. No one is here on the planet by chance. No one, even if it was an act of atrocity or an act of whatever, God is the one who made you. God is the one who fashioned you. The Bible says every day of your life, He's written down in His book of life. He's written it down. All the wondrous plans He has for you. He's way smarter than ChatGPT. He's way smarter than any AI that will ever be produced. He is the one that is beyond time. He's past, present, and future. And He's wild for you. Please hear this. He is more wild for you than anyone you'll ever know in your life. Even if you had the best father, He is 2 million times more passionate for you than your best father. Because the Bible says even us as good fathers know how to give good gifts to our kids. But the Father's on steroids. The Father, because He made you in your mother's womb. So humans are a unique cat. You're a unique, we're just not a cat actually. We're just unique. I've just thrown everything into the bin there. You're not a cat. Even if you think you're a cat, you're not a cat. Some people think they're cats these days. You are literally made in His likeness, in His image. Why then is there so many messed up people in the world? Why have I been messed up in my life? Literally messed up. Why? Because there is an enemy who don't like you and does not like the Father, because He was thrown out of heaven like lightning. The devil is real, but he's useless compared to the risen Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So humans are actually created in the image of God. We are actually eternal beings. Sorry if this is 101 for you. I just have to go here. We're eternal in nature. So you have the life of God inside of you. Even if you don't know Him, you will live forever. But you're dead if you don't know God. The Bible says that you are dead in sin. Sin is separation from God. This is pretty heavy, isn't it? John chapter 8, verse 34. This is in the Passion Translation, so you may not have it in your translation, but it's the same thing. I speak eternal truth, Jesus said. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. See, here's what the demonic realm demons try to do. They try to attach to people to get life. They attach to us and get life. And when they get enough people believing them and saying what they say and doing what they say, they actually create chaos in homes and in cities and in regions. That's why it's called strongholds actually do exist over cities. And traveling the world, you will see it. You will see strongholds over different things because the people all think the same and they're all got these sucker fish attached to them. And they're just wasting people's time. They're getting them in cages, bondage, and the Bible is the complete. Here's the thing. The Bible tells the most radical story. The most radical story. It's the only story. The only story. The Muslim religion doesn't say it. Buddhism doesn't say it. Any other religion does not say this. This book shouts something completely opposite. And here's what it shouts. Every other religion says you got to knock on doors. You got to knock on doors to get saved. You got to angle your mat a certain way and pray three times to Allah, or you've got to do this. And even if you do that, you may or may not get there. You may or may not get there because you're a bad person and you've got to somehow work your way to God. You've got to somehow work your way to heaven. But here's the crazy thing. Jesus, the Bible says, before the world even fell from heaven, before it even fell, it says the Lamb of God was slain. Do you know what that means? That means Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John, the crazy Baptist that ate locusts, he saw him and he goes, "Behold the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You do not chase down God. God chases down you. And God is chasing people this morning, tonight, wherever we are. I don't even know what time it is. God is chasing people. And this is the gospel. The gospel says that God loves us so much 100 times what our parents could love us, even more than anyone else. He loves you so much that he hung on a cross. He allowed his perfect sinless body to hang on a cross, be pierced with the biggest railroad train nails. Feet, hands, whipped to almost death. He did that for you and me. John 8:36 says this. Oh, I'll just read from 34 again. I speak eternal truth, Jesus said. When you sin, you're not free. You've become a slave in bondage to sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. Ooh. For a son is a part of the family forever. Who's your daddy? No, seriously, who's your daddy? So if the Son sets you free from sin, then you become a true son and be unquestionably free. Do you know salvation is a gift? Jesus hung on the cross of his own choice for you. And it's not that he hung there to be brutalized. The Bible says we were in Christ. My sin was in Christ. The times I've thought the most horrendous thoughts, the times I've acted the most horrendously, all of the worst of Dave Harvey was in Christ and nailed to the cross. And the Bible says even in that, some people say, oh, the Father God left him. You know, when he declares, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know your Father God is so passionate about you? So passionate about you that when you are in your darkest, most beat to a pulp moment, he is still there. Because the Bible says, but God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's a mystery. I don't understand that. But Jesus acknowledges the pain that we all feel. Where are you, God? Why is my life so sucky? Where are you? I can't feel you. Why are the demons ripping me apart? And Jesus goes to our greatest depth. The worst thing that any human in all of history, actually every human in all of history, Allah didn't do this. Buddha didn't do this. No pop star, no AFL footballer's done this for you. One person has done it for the entire planet for all of history. And the Bible says we were in Christ when he died and then we were buried with him. He was buried for 3 days. And here we go. Here we go right here is the crux of Christianity. Christianity could not exist. The gospel would not be true if what happens next didn't happen. Not only was he a martyr and he took all of our sins for all of history. The Bible says his body got so contorted by the sin. He became so in anguish and pain. Can you imagine this room's sin on Jesus? Think about it. Think about all the crazy stuff you've ever done, thought, that your parents have done, all that on him. Well, this is all of humanity, for every human, billions and billions of people on the Christ. Bible said he became without appearance. He became like, whoa. Even the Roman centurion looked at him and said, surely this was the Son of God. He dies and he's buried. But the Bible says we were buried with him and he was dead for 3 days. And this is the point I really want to get to. He rose again. He rose again and he said this to his followers. All authority has been given to me. I hold the keys. I got the keys, baby. I got the keys of hell and death. I've got the keys of a successful marriage. I've got the keys of prosperity. I have the keys. I have the keys of life abundantly. Where the thief has tried to steal, I've got the keys of life abundantly. And it's aimed at you. Not for you to become this selfish, like fat person on a couch that's just, yeah, bless me, Jesus. No, so that you can take the gospel and change more people's lives and take it further than anyone could have ever imagined. The gospel comes into us to make us like Christ. And we become partakers of what the Bible says, His divine nature. I know people that know God. I know that you can tell someone that is a lukewarm Christian and you come to someone that knows God and they are filled with the fullness of life and abundance and God and joy and peace. But the enemy loves to try to get us into little boxes. Sin says you're an orphan. Sin says your life doesn't matter. You're an orphan. But the free gift of God, the free gift of Jesus Christ says, welcome to the family. You belong. King David had, you know, back then in those days, King David was a, you know, a leader in Israel. And when a king succeeded another king, often they would kill the offspring. Like lions do apparently. Lions, you know, often when they take over a pride, they'll kill the little cubs. David didn't do that. He was like a type of Christ, the Bible says. And there was one of the previous king's kids who'd actually been, I think when David took the throne, the nurse, the Bible says, ran, tripped over, and I think he got crippled from the fall, like got all messed up. And then he went and hid in the desert like an orphan. But David heard about this and said, where is little Mephibosheth? Where is he? Where is he? I don't want to kill him. Where is he? I want him to come home. Oh, I want him to come to the king's palace. And here he's going to banquet with me till the day he dies. And the Bible says that's exactly what David did. He didn't act like a normal king. He acted like Jesus. And that's what Jesus has done for you and I. He's gone. He goes to where your house is, where you're crippled, where you've had falls, where I've had falls. And he says, come home. Come and belong in the family. Come and be a true son and daughter of God. Turn to Matthew 14. Are you guys okay? I know this is like basic for some of you, but man, it's good news. Sin makes you in bondage, guys. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family, guys. Like really, slaves have got no standing, but a son is a part of family forever. Yep. I'm 50, believe it or not. I know some of you are like, no way. My wife's the same. She's always like, babe, you look 30. No, that's not true. I don't have rough skin, baby face. I remember when an American, it's funny, I thought about this lately, babe, an American pro footballer came to Oruwadonga and preached the gospel in the local cinema. Bill Glass was his name. I didn't follow NFL back then. and he came, preached the gospel. He shared his testimony about how this Jesus had tracked him down. And he had all the money, all the success in the world, and he was dead. And he says, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, will you take my sin and will you make me into a God person? Boom, changed. Do you know that's how quick change happens in the kingdom? Is like instant. You go from darkness to light, from being an orphan to being in the family, from being an outcast to being at the banquet table. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to like come to 100 church services and do a Bible college course. You actually get a free gift that is worth more than any amount of money on the planet, because no Elon Musk in the world, no Jeff Bezos can buy this. It's a gift of God. It's called the righteousness of God. And that means God makes us like himself. This is what it looks like in Matthew 14. And this is what I want to land it with. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples and he says this to them. He says, go get in a boat and cross to the other side of the lake. The disciples go, yes, boss. They're off. They're paddling, row, row, rowing their boat across this lake. And the Bible says Jesus went up on the hill to pray to the Father. Guys, we have access to the unlimited mind of God. Why do you think Jesus kept going up onto the mountain? Why do you think he left all the needs and all the healing meetings that were set up for him? He wanted to be with his dad because his dad thought he was the greatest in the world. Did you know that? His father broke in twice throughout Scripture. Once when he was baptized, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, there's a loud shout from heaven, this is my son who I love, who I am well pleased. It wasn't a half-hearted, he's a good bloke and, you know, I hope he does a few good things. He shouted passionately, this is my son in whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, look it up. The Bible says he took a couple of disciples and goes up there and he instantly turns into lightning, covered in lightning clothes. Peter and John are like, whoa, 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 let's, you know, whoa, this is like rock star Jesus. It's like, let's build tabernacles for you. And Elijah appears and a few others, Moses, I think. And it's like crazy encounters, crazy. And in that moment, the same loud voice comes. This is my son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. That right there is the same shout that he has over you. He has that shout right now. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We could never earn this. But he shouts at us, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. Not half-hearted, not like our dads have shouted over us or our moms. He is like a raging lion for you. You know, the Bible says that when he was buried, he went into hell for you and me. And he took the keys and he stood on Satan's head. There is no match. There is no match. There is no one that can stop Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. He is passionate for you. Ephesians 5:1 says this, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. What does that mean? God wants you to be like him. God wants you to be like him. I have seen people multiply food, serving huge camps and huge meetings. They pray and the food multiplies. I've seen crazy things. I've seen people tell people who have tumors on their hands, stick your hand up in the air and bring it down, and the tumor is gone. You are called to be like Christ. That's what this whole thing's about, so you can kick the enemy off the planet. Kick him, kick the demons off of your parents, off of the marriage, off of the school, off of your local councils and your businesses, so you can be dangerous for good. Ephesians 5:1 says, be an imitator of God as a dearly beloved son and walk in love. What does that mean? That word dearly beloved is the exact same word that was used over Jesus twice. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And he shouts that over you. I played football, believe it or not. Skinny guy. Mostly basketball, thanks to friend Joel and Pete, who I've just found out hated basketball, so we've got to have a bit of a talk later. Pete made almost professional. Never showed up for training. No, he's a champion. Didn't need to train. He had a wingspan of 7 foot something. I remember playing football, skinny little white kid. My dad never came to my games. He's a cleaner, always out, busy. And then once we're playing this team, country footy out in the middle of, I don't know where, Wangaratta, Wandilligong, I don't know. I love Australian names. When you leave, you're like, you come back like, whoa, everyone's talking in tongues here. Walla Walla, you know, it's like, whoa. I've heard that in church, I think. Somebody said that. People. And honestly, Harvey's mature late. I still haven't got hair from here up, I think. It's like, it's not there. People are like, really? No, I'm joking, people. But skinny, playing footy. And I remember this game because this day, my dad came to my football game. The only game he ever came to. And something was different. This was just me. Something happened inside of me when I realized that my dad was at my football game. Literally, I have no idea how this happened. I never won trophies. I never got votes. I was just a skinny kid that could maybe mark it and hand pass it and say, ouch, that hurt when I punched the ball. My dad comes to my game and I turn into like gladiator on steroids. Literally, I had no idea what came over me. Some psychologist in the room will tell me, but I ran through people. And there's no physical way I could do that. I actually was running and I remember the ball got kicked up and normally I'd sort of take a few steps away and let it fall and then try to get it, like show my coach I was kind of in the game. But this time I'm like, it's mine. And I took the mark, played on. I remember just knocking some of the biggest people over and stepping on their chest and going, what am I doing? I became like a raging lion on the football field. I got votes, actually. I had umpires give me votes just for that game. The only game in my entire life. And it was because my dad was at my game. I want to tell you, the Father is at your game. Will you come home to Him and get free from the bondages of sin? Will you become a part of the family again? Will you become one with Him, have intimate connection with Him? That's the coolest thing in the world. And so in Matthew 14, Jesus has sent his disciples over and they're rowing. He's up with the Father. And then all of a sudden it says a contrary wind came against them. And it says they were paddling like fishermen paddle. They knew water, they knew lakes, they knew the whole thing. They probably paddled this multiple times. And it says they were afraid that they were gonna die. And it says it kept going the whole night. And all of a sudden it says on the last watch, the last watch of the night, Jesus came walking out on the waves. This is not a fictional story. This is not a, you know, a poetic phrase in the Bible. This is literally what happened. The Son of God came to show off. Not really. The Son of Man came dancing on the waves. You know he's not afraid of whatever you're facing. You know he's not afraid of what this church is facing. You know he's not afraid of anything. You know he's dancing right now on the waves. He is coming out like a raging lion. This is a holy moment for this church. This is a holy moment. What happens this week is a holy moment. And he is not void of it. He's not sitting and watching, you know, some news channel. He is fully engaged with this church and he is dancing on your waves. He's right here and I can feel him. He's like crazy for you because this is a church that said it's revival or nothing. It's everything that Jesus paid for or nothing at all. We don't want to play church. Church is boring. We want to become the sons and daughters of God. We want to become an apostolic family. We want to see heaven invade Melbourne like crazy. That's who you are. I can feel it in the room. Jesus comes dancing out on the waves. And the Bible says that the disciples were freaked out because they didn't know what that was. People, they're shouting out, "Is that a ghost? Is that a ghost? It's a ghost!" Here's what, whenever you're in a chaos moment, put your hand up. Be brave if you're in a tough, tough storm right now. Put your hand up. An impossible storm, it feels like. And you're doing all your darndest. You've got counsel. You've got people helping you. You're doing everything. You're paddling. Well, I want to tell you, scan the horizon. Because he's not far away. He's dancing on your waves. He's splashing the water going, "Really, enemy? You really think you can take my 12 guys? You really think you can take my revival away from me? You watch." And there was only one in the boat out of the 12. His name's Peter. I love him. One of my favorites because he's my brother's name. Love my brother. And Peter scans across and they're all shouting, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost." And the Bible says he recognized and thought, "Is that Jesus? Jesus, could that be you?" And it's like he just, I don't know if he whispered those words or if he muttered them. But can you imagine rain? "Oh, we're going to die. Is that a ghost?" And he's like, "Is that you?" And he looks across the waves and he sees the loving eyes of Jesus. The same love that created him in his mother's womb. The same love that later would hang on the cross and look at him. The same love, even when he denied him, that same love was there in the storm, eyeballing him and going, "Yeah, it's me, baby. I am for you and not against you." And this is what the Bible says Peter said. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said this, "Come." And that's the coolest thing. That actually means Peter yelled out, "Can I come out and be like you?" What was the purpose of the Son of God being manifest on the planet? Was to destroy the works of the enemy. What was the main destruction that the enemy caused? It was people became average, cut off from the power of God, weak victims, plugged into the sucker fish of the demonic, just useless, selfish, destructive to the planet. Jesus came to destroy that and said, yeah, you can be just like me. Come on, Pete, come out on the water. And the Bible says Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Tonight there are going to be people that walk on water. Tonight there are going to be people that walk out of their shame, out of their prison cell, their orphan cell, and they're going to walk into family, eternal family, eternal life. I remember this preacher from America preached the gospel, told his testimony, and my heart was going, do, do, do. I was 8 years old in Albury, Wodonga, do, do, do. And he said this, he said, if anyone here wants to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do you know what Lord means? It means he becomes the one who calls the shots in your life. And Savior means he fixes everything that was lost. If you want that, he said, come down the front. And I didn't move. I'm just like, I'm too embarrassed. And my heart is racing. And then he said this, he said, if your heart's racing, come down the front. That's God tapping on your heart. So I ran down the front. I don't even remember it actually. Next thing I'm down the front and this guy comes over and his hand was ginormous. Now I got big hands now, but back then I had little hands and he sticks his hand out and I stuck him in his hand. That was when I was 8, guys. Can I just say this? Jesus has been the greatest thing in my life beyond, way beyond anything else. He has saved my life. And more than that, now the things that Jesus is clipping onto my life, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, things that were not possible with my upbringing, things that were not possible because of my weaknesses, the favor that's coming on me because he's a good king. You're not just invited to a banquet table to watch him eat everything. He comes and he sets a God-sized banquet for you. He comes and he sets the whole thing before you. I remember had an encounter with the Lord and I was like Jack and the Beanstalk sitting at a giant's table, and next thing huge plates start getting put down, like 3 meter wide, big chickens, big cheesecakes, big, you know, whatever. It was awesome. And then the Lord said this, tell them I'm bored with their prayers. Tell them to pray God-sized prayers. God has set a banquet for you. God has set a banquet for your family. He set a banquet for your future. You have no idea how many lives you will change. You have no idea how many people are going to be saved from your yes to getting out of your boat, being like everyone else, and saying, Jesus, if that's you, can I come and be like you? See, here's what I want to do. Close your eyes. I do want to do an invitation right now. Exactly what happened to me when I was 8. And I just want to put it out there. If that's you, and you know that you need Jesus, you need Jesus Christ, you know you're separate from him. You know you're stuck in the boat. You know you're like the rest of these disconnected from God humans, and you're striving against the storm. And you're like, Jesus, if you're real, will you come into my life and make me a God person? If that's you, I just want you to put your hand up right now. Right now, nice and high. Nice and high, all over this room. Right up high, not a little bit. I want it up high. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Keep it up. Keep it up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Chunky soup. Thank you, Lord. Can you just come down the front, this young woman? Can you come down here? Is that you? Did you raise your hands for Jesus? Can you come down and see? Can you come down here? No? Did you put your hand up to receive Jesus or not? No, you just were like, Jesus, save people. It's awesome. Well, here's what we're going to do, because it sounds like almost all you all are in. The Lord said to me tonight, I want to break chains. So we're going to do what we call at Bethel a freedom tunnel. And I'm worried for you guys. Because this is as simple as it'll be. We're going to get the leaders from Pneuma Church to stand here and make a tunnel that you're going to walk through. And they're just going to pray for you as you walk through. And it's called a freedom tunnel because here's what's going to happen. You're going to go through there and you're going to be set free. People are going to be set free from suicidal thoughts. People are going to be set free from depression. People are actually going to be healed in their bodies. People are actually going to come in here and be changed as they go out. We ran a conference a few months ago and Taff was up the back watching the fire tunnel. People are going through, you know, once, twice. I would recommend at least twice. Three times is really good. And a guy comes up to her at the back of Bethel and he's crying. And she said, what is it? What's going on? And he said, I'm changed. He said, I came here to this conference. He paid money for a conference to prove that it was all wrong, to prove that it was all fake. And Taff said to him, well, when did it change? And he said, well, between there and there. And so she goes, come with me. And she drags him back into the fire tunnel. He come back through and just bawling, you know, just crying. So Pneuma leaders, come on up. We're going to have a party. And here's what our party is going to be. It's going to be a dancing on waves party. We are going to dance on the waves. And these waves are chains that are holding people back. These waves are chains that are keeping people trapped. And I'm worried for people. Because these Pneuma leaders are loaded. Chunky soup. That's what we're doing. So I want you to stand up. Is that okay? And we'll probably line up. Where do you guys normally do it, Pneuma guys? Okay, come, everyone over here. Make your way over there and we're going to file through here. And as you go through, we're dancing on the waves with Jesus. We're saying, Jesus, make me free. Jesus, make me free. Make me free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. People are going to get free of shame. People are going to get free of bad self-images. People are going to get free of hopelessness. People are going to get free.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.